Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Believe in a power greater than what you are going through. When you don't know what to do,
that's right. When you don't know what to do, just keep breathing. And we're just talking about breathing today, aren't we? Adrian is having trouble breathing. My guest on is about the magic of breathing. But anyway, from the City of Angels, lately it seems like the City of Fallen Angels, Los Angeles, and the Big Apple in New York City. Welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver. At caregiverdave.com, along with my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg, at thecaregiverspace.org. And we're coming to you live and on demand, 24-7, on 21 global and audio video platforms, iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker. I'm not going to name them all, but there's a lot of them. And we're proud to be voted number one caregiver podcast on the top 50 on Player FM, as well as one of the top six best podcasts on caring.com, as well as number three podcast out of thousands of caregiver podcasts on FeedSpot. And we have an exciting show planned for you today, don't we, Adrian?
Of course, yeah.
Of course.
We do.
Like, oh, it's almost a rhetorical question, isn't it?
That's right.
James Beard transforms lives by teaching breath work, harnessing his 27 years of experience to help people find peace and freedom and answers to questions that have dogged them for years. The author of three books, count them, and a gifted speaker and workshop leader, James has been teaching breathwork for 17 years, and his desire is to ensure that as many people as possible experience the same miraculous and amazing experiences that he's had. James, I just want to hold on a second while I thank my last week's guest before we get to you, Reverend Patricia Caganello. Caganello, she's Italian, is CEO and founder of Sacred Stories Media, a conscious online media network. As an ordained interfaith, interspiritual minister, Patricia believes every story is a sacred story. She's ordained from One Spirit Interfaith Seminary in New York. And just a reminder, you can watch or listen to that interview and this interview and all our interviews on caregiverdave.com if you're a member. Otherwise, they're on YouTube and iHeartRadio and a whole bunch of places. All right, enough of that. Welcome to the show, James. So excited to have you on. I'd like to take a minute or two and introduce yourself. I'd like to ask my guest just, who is James Beard? I know he has a beard. And why were you put on this earth?
Oh, my goodness. Well, James Beard started off as a young man like many of us and eventually grew up, grew through a lot of different things and that whole thing, lived the American dream, found out that there's more to life than just that. Three children, one grandchild, own a couple different businesses, and my goal right now is to get breath work out into our mainstream consciousness so everybody's aware of it. Because sometimes when I talk about breath work, I feel like a chiropractor in the 50s trying to talk about chiropractic work. So,
yeah.
Because not too many people have heard about it, at least at the depths that I go to with breath work.
Yes. So as I told you before the show, Adrian is having trouble breathing. She has this condition. What's it called, Adrian?
Bronchiectasis.
Is that like bronchitis or worse?
Like chronic bronchitis.
Chronic bronchitis. So what were you telling her before the show, James, as far as the importance of breathing? And she does these exercises with this device that that they gave her, and I had that same device when I was had some issues like that.
I was curious, what was the amount of time they wanted you to hold it in between the lines?
As long as you can.
As long as you can. But I mean, I also use a nebulizer and...
Okay. I'm just curious because what I was saying to you is focus on the exhale because you're releasing toxins. And when you're doing it, or our bodies are doing it efficiently when we're helping along doing the mental part of it, our bodies have the potential to release 70% of the toxins within our body. That was a 7-0. So like a bowel movement's 3%. You would think it'd be the other way. Yeah, you think it'd be the other way around. And urination, if I might, I get confused between 7 and 11. Sweating is 20%. So think about that. Part of the phenomena of breath work is if you might break a sweat too. So then at that point, you could potentially be releasing 90% of the toxins from within your body. So, but I would focus on, with your condition, a nice, slow, maybe even forceful exhale so you could start clearing some of the phlegm. But you talked about scar tissue. That would be a gentle, slow inhale, in my mind, to start to stretch the lungs back out and kind of open it back up. See if you can massage the tissue of the lungs by doing nice full expansion. But what people don't, you got to consider the, I'm pulling on my ribs a little bit, not just scratching myself, but the intercostal muscles in between the ribs and this expansion. So you're stretching and massaging organs that we just don't normally bring awareness to with a nice full inhale. So it's an internal massage. And then you can go, so that's the physical body. You can go into the emotional body, the mental body. There's a lot of different avenues you could look at all of our situations of what happens in life.
So if we're running or walking and we're breathing heavy, would that count? Because we're doing the breathing and then we're also sweating.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I believe it counts. When I used to run half marathons. Uh-huh. And so what was I found fun and entertaining was I would switch up my breaths, which helped me save other parts of my body. If I felt that certain areas where I was breathing, if I was doing a lot of belly breathing, I caught that, I would move the breath up into my chest. So I switched the breath around within my body.
I'm a bicyclist. I've noticed that sometimes when you're going up this steep, steep hill and you don't think you can do it anymore, just change your breathing either to rapid or deep and slow, and just it feels like, oh, I got my second wind or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you know something's coming, you can start preparing beforehand, taking deep breaths before you even get there where you have to take the deep breath.
Oh.
So if you know your terrain, and part of what breath work is kind of preparing for situations that you may not know are coming by go ahead and taking these deep breaths, clearing the body, clearing the mind. One of the quickest ways to clear the mind is by focusing on your breath, too. It's used in basically all the meditations until you start going into where you actually let go of the breath also in meditation. You just try and forget about the body completely.
Well, as you can imagine, our audience are burned-out caregivers, and so I would think that there would be a lot of reasons to use breath work to help burned-out caregivers get back to thriving instead of just surviving or not surviving.
Well, what I've done for breathing for myself is my personal practice. It's titled 13 Breaths. And there's so the book I wrote and the workshops I gave at the beginning were 13 Breaths to Freedom. And so it's 13 intentions within the breath, and it's four different styles of breathing. And it all built on each other. So the first one is a circular breath, from belly to chest, basically. If you want, unless you want the details of the microcosmic orbit, but there's meridians that run in the body. But it's a nice full breath, slow as you possibly can, really feeling where the breath is going in your body with the intention of love for yourself. So you close your eyes, you go inside, and you do this. And it could give you, I had it down with practice, daily practice is key, down to 2 minutes with a reset. And I'd feel peace when I came out of it and a sense of freedom. And if I had
kind of like
questions,
a meditation, huh?
Yes. And if I had questions, some answers would come along in the form of an insight or something like that, or somebody would show up and have the answer. That's how it worked for me. So this is
amazing.
What I've done.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Yes.
Would you go into that with a question? Or
a question?
Realize it while you were...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or an intention. Yeah, a question or intention. If you want to go with the question, you can formulate your breath session around that. And then what the trick is to go in with the question, put it out there, let it go. Mm-hmm. Then have no expectations and let the answers come to you. When we try too hard, we get in our own ways, is what I found. From experience, too.
So You've mentioned some benefits of breath work. Are there any others that you haven't mentioned yet?
For me, it's the deepest spiritual connection I've ever made is with when my breathing practice. So it's been profound. The art behind me is from your creative side can come up. This is art that I did
really?
From a breathwork session, and it ties into the nadi system out of the Ayurvedic systems, if you're mm-hmm. aware of that.
No.
And so behind, if you get into yoga, and have you heard of the word kundalini?
I bet Adrian has.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a dormant energy within all of us.
Yeah,
and he's much more sophisticated than I am.
Yeah.
I'm just on the West Coast.
Oh, come on, then you should know about this by now.
With this is something that a West Coaster should know about, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, well, I was born in Brooklyn.
Well, there you go. But it's not something we're taught here in the West. This is coming from the East, and there's a lot of mysticism from the East, and this is part of that. But they talk about these three channels or nadis within our bodies, and behind us is the Pingala and the solar, and then the Ida, the lunar, and then up the middle is the Sushumna. If you look behind me, that's what's happening there with this piece of art. And it's just something, but what it does is balance you. So it's almost like balancing the hemispheres of your brain, which brings peace to a nice state of being. So I think I might have went off the topic there, but this is some of the things that come from breath work, these other things.
I'm sure you would say that breath work is good to do any time, but when is it especially good to do? Like if you're stressed or if you just had an argument with somebody or your face is turning red and the veins are sticking out of your neck, you know?
It's time to slow down, have a seat, take a breath or two or three or 13 and go from there. But yeah, just take a moment. If you can catch yourself and remind yourself to breathe throughout the days, that's key. And that's the trick. That comes with practice when you don't need it. So when you do need it, you can remember to do it. And I'm still at fault for not pulling it in and sitting down and doing my own breath work. I'm still a human being.
Really? You challenge with your own breath work, huh?
Yeah,
you're telling us what to do and you're not doing it?
Oh, I'm doing it. I'm just sometimes I catch myself when I don't do it. And I'm like, oh, you know these things. Why aren't you consistent? And, you know, and it's kind of like you get on these shows like this and I feel a little piece of me is whispering, you're a hypocrite. And I'm like, But,
the shoemaker
you know,
who needs shoes, the marriage counselor who's getting a divorce.
Right. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, the surgeon that needs surgery. So we're all learning as we go. And when I remember to apply it, it's absolutely amazing. And I just go, why don't you do this more often? But after 27 years, the ego thinks, oh, you got this. You don't need to be doing this.
You know, I don't breathe very much. I mean, other than the normal breathing. And I've been told many times to breathe. But it's just so much
nice
work,
exhale.
You know, and it takes so much time. Listen to me. These are the excuses we give for not breathing. But I'm going to make a conscious effort in 2020 to breathe more consciously.
Right.
How about you, Adrian? Are you going to do that? You need to do that.
I do. I have to. Yeah.
Now that I know, I'm going to remind you all the time. I didn't know you were in this condition. How often does it bother you, like, throughout the year?
It's a constant.
Constant. So the real question is, how often does it not bother you?
I do my treatments morning and night, and I'm lucky that I don't have medication in the treatments yet. It's just a solution, fairly neutral solution. I think I may be at the point where I need to medicate a little bit, and I'm not really looking forward to that, but as long as I take my treatments, I'm usually good for the day.
Well, you're under a lot of stress. You're moving and you're trying to...
We sold.
Well, that's less stress. Congratulations.
Did you get your price or the rock bottom price? No. Good price.
Oh, good price.
Good.
Great.
Good.
What kind of a person is it? Is it a famous person? Is it an artist? A movie star?
An art dealer and his wife.
How nice. Well, I bet and I hope that they really appreciate that place. It's an amazing place.
Thank you.
And let them stay there, you know, until their kids take it over. Anyway.
The kids are two blocks
away. Oh, really?
Away.
So they're moving in too, huh? Yeah. There's certainly room for them.
The dog is barking. The kids' apartment was supposed to be the parents' apartment, but the parents surprised the kid and told her that it was for her. And then this apartment is now for them. Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm excited.
Right on.
Well,
can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you do your you said you're not taking meds, but when you do your I forget what you said exactly, but
nebulizer.
In the morning and when you do that in the morning and evening, so you're doing the breathing,
right?
But you take a couple extra minutes without that, and just go inside and close your eyes and breathe a little bit more, and take start off with 2 minutes and see if you can kind of get into some sort of silence and go from there and see what you could tune into. And then maybe pose your question in and there and see what kind of answers you get.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I will.
Yeah.
So glad you're on the show, and we just have a new intro and outro that says keep breathing. I mean, that's
breathing.
The fourth or fifth time that we've had that on the show, this singer-songwriter from Nashville and I hooked up, and he's really into music that heals the soul. And what a coincidence that that breathing must be very important.
It is.
I know that when we were having, you know, arguments with teenagers many years ago, and it's like we were always told, wait, stop before you say what you're going to say. Just count to 10 and breathe.
And breathe. I'm like,
get some oxygen in your brain before you just say something that you're going to be sorry you said.
And right. My breathing was like... Yeah, I'm back though, right?
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we will be right back and continue with our questions to see what's going on here, okay?
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Who am I? My name is David. I've had the privilege of being Charlene's husband since 1975. We had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that culminated in our marriage a year later. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received 2 black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought us all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, our love then produced Rebecca Elizabeth. We had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel Christian music, Andre Crouch? Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. You'll be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Available everywhere.
And we're back with James Beard and Adrian Gruberg, my co-host, and I'm Dave Nassani here on the Caregiver Dave Show. And I wanted to ask you, James, we've already learned so much. What are some of the things that you learned from the experience?
Of breath work?
How long have you been in it also? And what caused you to get into it?
I've been fascinated with the breath since I was a small child.
Really?
And
Oh, you hold your breath underwater, and kids like to do that.
I got a cute story. Oh, I was one of the kids that won. I could do the most laps back and forth under the
pool. How many seconds can you hold your breath, or minutes?
Recorded closer to the day. As a kid, it was up to 2 minutes. My recorded stagnant breath hold is 4 minutes, 38 seconds.
Wow. You could be like Houdini underwater.
I think the record right now is close to 20 minutes. So, it's each time somebody beats it, somebody comes along and raises the bar. They go up. So, but as a child, I was fascinated with the breath because I think I saw a TV show where somebody was smothered by a pillow or something. I'm trying to figure out what I saw. But I got to put to bed before the sun went down and all that good stuff. And I knew not to get out of bed, but I wasn't sleepy, so I played in my bed. And I was manipulating my gut. And I got in a position that looks like, it's a yoga pose, so I'll just leave it at that. And I was able to move air in and out of my rectum. And I thought, as a child, nobody could suffocate me because I could breathe with my butt.
Are you talking about farts? What are you talking about?
No. I was able to relax and move as a child when the body's really functional. I was able to move the gut and do a little whoosh and a vacuum sound. So I thought, basically, I could breathe with my butt as a child. Later on, I've been fascinated for a long time. I was bored in school around sixth grade or so, and I'd watch that clock tick-tock when it was quiet. You could hear it in the classroom. And I was able to do a one-minute inhale and a one-minute exhale. Took time. There's a whole school year to play with.
But yeah, you were destined to do this, I guess.
This was advanced breathing at the time, so I think I brought some things with me, if you will. So in the 80s, I did conscious breathing, like some of the stuff I just mentioned. And I was looking for that Kundalini word, and I found out it's real. I found out it was real in 1992. And this, I could show the cover of my book.
Yeah.
So this piece of art and this spiral with the swoosh, it was like my close encounters of the third kind. And even my daughter made a little ashtray when she was in it because she saw all these spirals all over the place. So I finally got it right. I tried to have artists do it for me, but I ended up doing it myself.
That looks a little different from the one that's blue.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How's this that? Is the new and improved version of my books.
Oh, yes. Okay. Who did the that one? An artist?
No, that's mine too. So this is just pulled forward a little bit more. The one on the blue cover there, those are all half hearts within the spiral of the archetypes.
Really?
The half of the heart that we like to show everybody, I think it, because that's what came through with that book as I was writing it, more of this piece of humanity came through.
So is this a book that you wrote, 13 Breaths to Better Sex? Is that a second book? Making Love Spiritually Intimate.
Yeah, that's all changed too.
So you were like Masters and Johnson in the old days, just experimenting and writing books about it.
Well, I had an incredible experience that had been after my wife. She didn't care for the breath work too much, but combining breath work and making love together, it was a big wow. It took it to a whole nother level of intimacy, and that's books getting retitled
for you
to,
or for her,
for me, okay. For both of us. It was a very intimate moment, and a very challenging moment at the same time, because where I went and where she went were kind of like that. But that gets pretty personal. So
are you still married?
No, unfortunately.
It didn't work out.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't breathe,
She didn't want to go down that path, no. But part of going down the breathwork path, you really need to take a good hard look at yourself. And I put in that spiral, the half hearts. We like to show everybody this bright, shiny side. So that little piece that's whispering in my ear going, "You're a hypocrite," that'd be like my shadow, the dark side of myself. So to take a look at that side, and if you look in the middle of that picture you showed, there's a heart symbol, and it's dark and it's black and white. So the light and the dark.
Very middle there.
The very, very, very middle, yeah. You can't hardly see it with that. But anyhow,
Are these separate books? 1, 2, 3, 4
yeah, they're
four books? Wow.
Yeah, there's four. Yeah, talk about
my 1,000 breath journal.
Right.
And what's the other one? Pranayama. Oh, that's the word you said.
Pranayama.
You said kundalini. Pranayama.
Oh, there's another word.
Yeah, pranayama.
Between kundalini and pranayama.
Pranayama is the exercises to activate your kundalini. How about that?
Oh, my. So there's a fifth book coming out about kundalini, right?
There's a fifth book in the works, yes. And some of them are getting retitled. Because the 13 Breaths to Better Sex, I've been fortunate to be in women's circles and such. And they're like, okay, come in here. Oh, yeah. And and I give a talk and I share breath with them. And they appreciate
that. And then they tell you, please talk to my husband.
Well, one of the great compliments I got from the breathwork session, because I did a short introduction, was one of the ladies said, where have I been all my life? After coming out of the session. Because she tapped into such a deep part of herself and was so kind of awakened, if you will. So those are the types of things I like to share with people. So that's it. Yeah, so we're kind of going off in several directions here, and I'm trying to keep up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's hard for me to stay on track because
that's okay.
I'm very spontaneous. If I don't write it down, it's gone.
Yeah, I understand. So I developed the 13 breaths personally for myself. I applied it. And racing, I used to race bikes, BMX racing with my son. Oh. So I'd sneak off in the bushes and I'd do my breaths and I'd come back out and I'd be really charged up. And I because like being my own guinea pig, basically trying these different things. I tried it in my business and my business took off. There's different things. The only thing that I haven't succeeded yet is really getting this word recognized, breath work. And I don't know, maybe it's meant to stay kind of sacred and under the radar.
Are you the only one talking about breath work?
No, there's several of us. Yeah, I'm part of the International Breathwork Foundation. I just co-host.
It's still not known, even though so many people
It's the low key. It's sometimes it's too simple to be true type statement, but without having the experience. So, okay, breathwork is a tool for peak performance as far as an athlete goes. It's an accelerator for personal growth. And I can give you a really long definition, too. But if you haven't had the experience, either these definitions don't make a whole lot of sense.
Better felt than telt.
There you go. I like that. Better felt than telt.
So, Adrian, remember we had a guest on who was talking about mindfulness, and I had never heard it put that way before. Is mindfulness, well-known more than breath work?
Yes. It's another mindfulness, well-being, that all does. And so a lot of the breath work that's out there, when I talk to big public groups, and I ask, how many of you have heard of breath work? And I get the hand raised. It used to be 5% raise their hands. Now about 90% raise their hands until I get specific because they've done a mindfulness practice that had some conscious breathing in it. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then there's a lot of yogis out there now that's like, oh, I do breath work in my yoga class. I'm like, yeah, you
have a lot of cousins now.
Yes, you do pranayama. So breathwork is an umbrella word for a lot of different styles.
I see.
So in that pranayama and breathwork book, I put the word and in there for the yogis, and I teach that at yoga teacher trainings. There's 13 pranayamas in there, and there's 8 different styles of breathwork. So which is, I smile when we come to the breathwork piece because the yogis usually think they know what's coming. And then we get to the rebirthing and the transformational and the holotropic and the holographic and all these Dr. Pateko for asthma. It's about holding the breath out. That might help you. So
So
it's being able to hold the breath out comfortably for about 45 seconds. It creates a nice equal gas exchange, but it also helps clear those lungs out too. So
what do you mean a gas exchange?
Oh, I don't know all the details and the science behind it. Dr. Pateko, though. It's
B-U-T-E-Y-K-O.
And the gas exchange?
We'll let Adrian ask her question first.
Yes.
I was going to ask how long that exhale should be. Should it be to the point of raspiness? Emptying your lungs? Really, really emptying your lungs?
I would breathe out to the raspiness, and then with the Dr. Potato, or relax out and give it a little extra squeeze, push out a little more air. But the key is to hold it out. And so my understanding, I'm not certified in Potato. I like to introduce all
right.
these. And if you want to go do your research, you can find it online. But if so, then you do exercises of holding it out just until you're uncomfortable, and you time that. And then you do that 3 times, and then you try and hold it out longer. There's a formula, and I wrote some of it down in my book from my understanding in the Pranayama okay. Breathwork book. So you can look at that. It's an interesting practice. It's really good. So there's the whole emotional body, and I don't – it's kind of – for myself, I'm not – anyhow, uncried tears would be one of the things to look at. So things that haven't been expressed fully. So there's some of those things to look at.
Yeah, the other thing that I've been through as far as breath goes that's really been interesting is rebirthing.
Yeah. Leonard Orr just passed.
That,
Leonard Orr, the founder of rebirthing, just passed away.
I just know how profoundly affected, breathing could be as far as crying and feeling and
yes.
realizing things and it's not like you have to practice for days and weeks and months. I mean, it just happened within the session.
Yes. Yeah.
No, I just inhaled and exhaled till I couldn't exhale anymore, and I was able to hold from that point on 17 seconds. Is that bad?
No, that's good. That's a great
really?
Start. Yeah.
Great
well, how
start.
Many times that's you have how many times did you do that before today? So look at it that way. So, there
right.
you go. And so
who
it's
knows?
Like yesterday I did no push-ups. Today I did 10. Yay. or 2.
Good start.
You know? So I remember my sister was doing she was trying to do some push-ups. And the first time she tried it, she couldn't do push-up. So but she tried. The next day she could do 1 push-up. Then the next day she did 3. So she increased each time she tried. Because the muscles are going, oh, we're going to do this again? So it would be the same thing. If you were to do that again, you might see that you can hold it out longer. For the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. You can do another exhale here for us.
Yeah. So are you a caregiver? Have you ever been a caregiver?
I took care of my dad. Yeah, it was, I was back east and I was flying back and forth for quite a bit. And then I came out to stay with him towards the end and take care of him. And that was not easy. And that's where I wish I would have listened to my own advice and did more breathing. And that's, and as you've mentioned is having help, it would be nice. I was doing it by myself and not too many people to talk to about it, and not too many people, because I was back east, and I was bouncing back and forth across the country a lot, and I finally stayed. So, yeah, taking care of my dad was a journey and an experience. And my dad was also claimed to be an atheist up in towards the end, and then he became kind of an agnostic. And we had nice conversations, and I said, hey, Dad, or what do you think? Are you a little bit of afraid of death? Do you think the Christians might have it right? And he could barely talk, and he did this. He's a little. So there's that side of us all the time, and I just kind of said, I think the toughest thing you're going to have when you get to the other side, Dad, is all the love you're going to feel and being able to be worthy of that. And he's just like, oh. That was kind of my advice and part of my beliefs too. And so that was some of what I gave him. I've actually seen him in dreams. We've had conversations where I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, you're dead.
Or like Shark Tank, you're dead to me.
No, I was, we're having this conversation. I'm like, it's like us having this conversation right now. And I'm like, wait. And there's lucid dreaming. I caught him in a dream, and I'm like, hey, hi, but you're dead, and I'm now awake, and I can't see you anymore. So that's kinda nice.
I just did 23 seconds, so I am improving. But part of it is just trying to beat your old record.
Yeah.
And realizing that you didn't drop dead the first time. Maybe I can go a little longer.
Yeah. Well, you can test the body. You can see how long you can hold it out. The body has its own intelligence. It'll kick you out of the way so it can resume normal breathing. You'll just get knocked out.
Now, I wrote some notes down about some questions that you and I discussed, and I can't read my writing or understand what this means. Maybe you can jog your memory.
Okay.
What would you do differently, and how did it change you? What is the it that we're talking about?
Are those two different things? No, I would have asked for more help, and I would have been a little more patient with myself and the whole process.
During what?
This is going with caring for my dad.
Oh, as a caregiver, okay.
Caring for my dad, it was exhausting and just really hard watching a guy that, you know, at one point just totally like, ooh, dad's here. You know, there's that part of me, my inner child. And then the respect and the strong man that he was, just to watch somebody dwindle away like that, as you know, is quite a challenge. And so to be more patient and not having that experience, what's happening here?
So what did you learn from the experience that has stayed with you? Caregiving experience. Did you just breathe?
Yes. Took a nice breath.
Must be an emotional question.
A little bit.
Take your time.
That I'm not a patient person, that's something I could work on. The compassion, but the impatience of it. And I'm curious what I'll be like when the time comes for me, because I've seen other people, my uncles and I have joked about we need to take notes when it's our turn so we can remember what not to do, possibly, to our loved ones. I've already set up my will and the living will and trust and all that. Got all that taken care of. I don't want to leave my kids a bunch of stuff they got to deal with. Right. I want all that gone. I want to whittle it down to nothing and not hang on like my dad did. That's some of the stuff I hope I learned to get rid of.
Do you think we have power when you were in that condition to not hang on, to make it quicker if we're, you know, suffering? Some people just hang on and on and on. It's like some people think that there's unfinished business or they're waiting to say something to somebody who hasn't shown up yet. I mean, is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me it is. I'm not going to say for myself. I'm not to give you two examples. My grandmother, because my grandmother and I, we were very close. She had a near-death experience, NDE, and she came back with a lot of gifts. I had an OBE, out-of-body experience, when I was 18, and they said, you need to talk to Grandma. And I'm like, because I didn't know what was happening to me. So we had these deep conversations. We'd wait for everybody to go to bed at family reunions and gatherings. So we'd talk to 3 o'clock in the morning so we could talk about what we wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
So at the end of her life, she's bedridden, and I went to visit her. And I just said, hey, Grandma, what are you doing hanging out? We know there's better places to be. And she's just like, no, there's something here to happening. So then her own son and her got to have these conversations that I knew, and he didn't even know about her. But he would come and sit by her bed and get to hear these stories, because her and I had been up till the wee hours of the morning having these conversations. Mm-hmm. I knew all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But he was the one, I think, that got to have this final closure with her, and that was part of her hanging out. Now, on the other side of that was my aunt had lung cancer, and I said, you know what I do, right? And she's like, yes. But it was pretty much a month or two, and she was gone. She just wanted to be gone. That's it. Basically, kind of like, I'm going to stop breathing and I'm out.
We're going to take another break. Hold that thought, and we will be right back.
We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical,
actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our welcome pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences. Plus, add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum, posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group. You can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. You get lifetime access to all of our resources. Again, we are here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. And remember, this is a place to get hope, not just cope.
That makes me sad to see that video, because that girl toward the end that I was talking to, she just died yesterday. She lost her battle to cancer. Beat it the first time, and then it came back, and she's very positive. She's a recording artist in Nashville, and her eyes just sparkle, and I'm going to miss her.
Cancer sucks.
Cancer sucks. There's a website or a book that there's a podcast called on Blog Talk Radio called Cancer Sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm almost afraid to ask this because I'm a Christian and I know what I believe, and so
I understand.
What are your thoughts on death and the hereafter? I mean, did the Christians get it right?
Well, they certainly think they did. So when I took my out-of-body experience to the church that I was going to, they said it was the work of the devil, unfortunately.
Which
for me.
Which church was that?
I'm not sure.
Not Catholic, right?
No, it wasn't Catholic. But my mother-in-law, when my father-in-law passed, got no support because he was full-on, I'm an atheist. And they're like, sorry, we can't help you with him. And she stopped going to church. So there's got to be some compassion there for these relationships that we have with our different people. And there's a way to support that. So I did Christianity for a while. I got some interesting stories about my own experience. I can continue to share. I put myself out on limb like Shirley MacLaine.
Bob Dylan has some stories too.
Yeah. As I exhale again.
So, yes, breathe.
As far as what I said to my dad is that the love, I almost talked him across. I was guiding him and relaxing him and guiding him down because he kept talking to the wall. And I'm like, who's here, Dad? Who's here? And he'd turn and he'd look at me and he'd get this confused look. And I'm like, come on, you're going to cross over. And the room would fill up with love. And there's just this transition period there, and it's absolutely amazing. And I was like so hopeful, and then his body did a really big jerk, and he's back in his body. I'm like, oh. And then I didn't know how long he was going to hang on, for a couple more days or a month or what. So my beliefs is we cross over, we get a life review, and we see how we did. So, and if some of us will go off to heaven for a little bit, and heaven will be what we see and what we believe. That's what I think we'll get. Because I was down at Earth Day here where I live in San Diego, and this guy was bold enough to have a big atheist banner up. I'm like, oh, I need to go talk to this guy. So I went over there, and he had all his people in front, and we're talking, and I'm asking questions, and I keep going, and I can see him behind, and he finally came up because they couldn't. Every question I threw at him, and he finally came up and said, I was clinically dead for 7 minutes and I saw nothing. And I said, okay, that's very good. I said, what part of you witnessed the nothing? And he went, and turned around and walked away, and all his people went, excuse me? And I said, whatever you believe is what you're going to get. So that's what I believe.
Some people believe you're just black and nothing, and so, but he had consciousness of some sort.
You know? Oh, I believe you're going to see your loved ones, people that have passed. You're going to get greeted. There's all kinds of things like that. And if you want pearly gates, I'm sure they'll be there.
I believe in out-of-body experiences. Too many people have had it, or near-death experiences, you know.
There was this little girl. Too many people have had it.
This little girl, and I don't think she knew how to paint. She died, I don't know, when she was 5 or 6. I forget the story. She painted this story of what she thought was Jesus, you know. It's famous now because someone else had a near-body experience, death experience. And he saw that. He says, "Oh my God, that's you know."
I'll share with you.
Pardon? Yeah. What are you going to say?
No, I was just saying that was what they saw.
Yeah.
I'll share one thing with you, and I was kind of reluctant, but here it is. I was driving down the road.
I'm in. The water's warm.
I was driving down Highway 78 out in the desert. And I'm going about 60 miles an hour. I'm in a motorhome, cruising along. It's at night. I'm listening to Yogananda, and if he's an audio tape, and he's talking about how much he loves his guru, and it's just this love. And I've listened to this audio tape so many times, and I'm like, I just blurted out, kind of have a cathartic moment. Just, why don't I have a guru now? Since you showed me that picture. This image came and sat on my hood. I'm driving down the road.
At that moment,
sat in a lotus position on the hood of my car, looked like Jesus, and said to me, "Are you ready to begin again?" I said, "Excuse me." As tears started flowing down my face, this sounds pretty serious. And he sat there like he had all the time in the world. I'm glad nobody was behind me because I went from 60 to 30. And really thought about this and said, yes, I'm ready to begin again. And that is a moment in my life that's one of those stories, I guess I just put it out there to the public, but I hold that pretty close to my heart.
Yeah. I can see why. It's an interesting story.
Thank you.
Christians tend to be dogmatic in their faith, especially when they're new, and then as they get older and older and live a little, and you know, things become less black and white and more gray and shades of gray. And I was told when I was about 40 years ago, when I had just become a Christian, this thing, and it stuck with me. I didn't exactly know what it meant at first. It almost sounded like heresy. But now, I believe it, you know.
Okay.
And here's what it is. When you get to heaven, you're going to have three of the biggest shocks in your life. And the first shock that you're going to get is you're going to see people there that you did not expect to be there. The second shock you're going to have is you're not going to see people there that you did expect to see. And then after those two shocks, your third biggest shock is you're going to be shocked to be there. And I think there's more truth in that than a lot of people would admit.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
It's not just the magical words that we speak that saves us, you know. It's our motives. It's our heart. What's in our heart, you know. Even in the Bible, when Samuel the prophet was choosing the next king of Israel, you know, He was interviewing Jesse's sons, you know, and he had a lot of sons, and he said to himself, "Oh well, surely this is the one, because he's big and he's, you know." No, that's not him. Oh well, maybe this one. No. He ran out of sons. He said, "Is there anybody else?" He says, "Well, I got this small ruddy kid. He's tending the sheep, but you know, he's bring him." And you know, that was David. And sure enough, as soon as he saw him, he says, "That's the one." And he didn't know how old he was. Maybe he was 14, you know, a little short, chubby kid.
Right.
You know, not good to do anything but sleep with the sheep. And God knows the heart. And he doesn't care about what we do, but about why we do it. Because we could do the right things with the wrong motives. And that doesn't count.
Oh. Yeah, there's a lot of ways to look at it. And I'm not here to prove anything other than that. Other than
you're just here to tell your story.
Yep, share my story, and you can take it however you want, and take a deep breath while you listen to it. I don't know. So,
and everything you said, did you somehow touch on the purpose of life?
The purpose of life.
Yeah, that question that everybody asks. What is the purpose of life?
What is the purpose of life? How much time do we have left?
Yeah, right? Yeah, oh, no, you only get one in one sentence.
Yeah, okay, the purpose of life, because I got a good story for that one. I believe all lives have a purpose, and it's to be uniquely us and to trust ourselves, period.
Good answer. You like that one, Adrian?
Yeah. I try.
Do you have an answer too, a different one? What's your answer, Adrian, to that question? Because you're in your 70s now. I don't know how much longer you and my wife, which are the same age, have. You know, we could die tomorrow. We could live until you're 100.
To live it to the fullest and to be kind and good.
All right, if there's one thing that you would like to leave with our audience, James, since we're in the final minutes, what would that be?
Well, okay. If you take time at least once a day. When I developed my practice of 13 breaths, I did 3 times a day. But if you take time once a day for yourself, especially if you're a caregiver, to take care of yourself. And I've seen in your video, and it's an analogy or a metaphor I use, is put on your oxygen mask first. It's the same thing. You take care of yourself first so you can help others better. So there's that. And one way of doing that for myself is to sit down, close your eyes, and breathe. And take a good coherent breathing is a 6-second inhale and a 6-second exhale. That's by Stephen Elliott. And it's scientifically proven to be the optimal breath for adults. So you breathe in for 6, you breathe out for 6. And it forces you to take a full breath, unless you're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4. But breathe in, try and make it seconds. So, but do that, and you could do that for a couple minutes to start, just to give you a baseline. And everybody has a couple minutes that they could do that. And so when I teach a class, it starts off with 2, and then I have them double down to 4 and then 8. Before they know it, they're doing an hour. But if you can start off with 2 minutes of doing some conscious breathing for yourself, and if you want to pose a question or set an intention, you could do that. But that's what I would recommend, doing that. And just take time to take care of yourself. Maybe a little exercise, you know, pay attention to what you're eating, all that good stuff.
I just exhaled all my breath and held it for 27 seconds on the third try.
Progress right on the show.
I held mine first time out, 35 seconds.
Wow. That's because you practice a lot.
Well, that's good.
I breathe.
That's awesome.
Every day.
Yeah.
Are you feeling better now? Are you feeling better since the beginning of the show to the end of the show?
I can hold my breath that long, and and it's not distressing, yeah.
Well, your voice sounds better, too. You don't sound so raspy.
Yeah. Put a smile on your face, too.
Steve Moore. Isn't she good-looking? She's a good-looking woman. So Suzanne Summers came out with her new book, and I saw Clint is interviewing her on his WABC radio station. I'm saying, And so I got on Twitter and I immediately texted her and I says, hey, remember me? We met at Harvard. How would you like to be on my syndicated radio show to promote your new book? It's heard in 135 countries. And so I'm waiting for her reply. So say a little prayer that she accepts my invitation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good intentions.
So how can we get a hold of you, James?
Oh, through my website. Yeah. 13breaths.com. It's spelled out THIRTEEN. So, and on there, and it has all my email information. My phone number's on there. You can find my book. So, new and improved version versus what you were holding up.
Oh, I like that.
So even this has changed. So now this looks like this instead of the journal.
I like the black.
Yeah. So these are two different ones, and then you held up the pranayama. So
the pranayama is newer than that, or that's newer?
No, this one's been around for a bit. So okay. 2017. 2018 was the challenge in the journal. So, and then the better sex is getting changed to 13 breaths to intimacy. So that's going to get brought out.
I don't know. They say the word sex sells, so I don't know if you want to do that.
Until you go public with it. And then everybody goes like, oh, we don't talk about sex. And I'm like, everybody said, I want better sex. And I'm like, well, here you go. And then I find out what they really want is intimacy.
That's true.
Is sex, but they don't want to call it sex.
Right. Well, there's that too.
I believe that.
Well, like I said, I was in the women's group and I heard a lot of things, but then when I wrote the book, people were like, oh, wait. And I'm like, but if the word intimacy is more inviting, so maybe they'll make it up then.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to be doing the New York Publicity Summit again in April, as soon as we can figure out which of the 3 days we're going to do.
Yeah.
And I guess we will or will not see you there.
I kind of doubt it this time. I'll wave. So,
well, I would recommend that you take all of the leads that you got from last year's and follow up on them, and maybe 50% of them will. We'll have you on the show.
We'll step out. Yeah, I'll be stepping out some more this year. We'll see.
Cool.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for this time and this opportunity. It was great fun.
Great. And Adrian, we get a hold of you by
adrian@thecaregiverspace.org. And all the other information is there.
And the Facebook is thecaregiverspace.org. You got the, right?
The caregiver space.
Okay. Well, this has been a great show. I learned a lot, and that's what makes it a great show. If I learn a lot, it's a great show. So I would just say we'll see you next week, and bye-bye.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise. Like the birds will never sing.